Pray this morning, Lord, that whatever is taking your place in our lives, Lord, that we'll just set it aside. This morning we'll hear your word and be just renewed, refreshed, so that we can follow you more closely, Lord. So, Lord, we just spend time in your presence, being quiet, listening to your word, Lord. We pray this all in your awesome name, Jesus. Amen. Good morning, church. We're reading from Luke chapter 10. We're going to be reading verses 38 to 42. Luke 10 from verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So I had one of those weeks this week. Everything just seemed to go wrong. Problem after problem, crisis after crisis. And just when I thought I had one problem under control, a bigger one seemed to pop up. And I felt like one of those characters in a computer program where you've only got one life left and your aim is to get to the end of the week. And I just about made it. And then I decided to watch the rugby yesterday. And I think Martha was having a similar time, a really tough time. So she gets told, Jesus is on his way. Jesus is going to be coming to have lunch with you. And he's bringing 12 hungry men with him. And this is an incredible honor. Not only is a rabbi coming to stay with her, to come and share a meal with her, but the rabbi, the one that she believes is the Messiah. What an incredible honor. But also, what a responsibility. So she decides she's going to put on a spread. Not just the usual bread and soup, but she's really going to prepare a banquet fit for the Messiah. So she calls her sister, Mary, we've got to do this. We don't have much time. You go to the neighbors, get as much food as you can, and let's just get this going. And as she's starting to prepare, Jesus and his 12 disciples arrive at her home. And she must have been completely frazzled, scurrying around, preparing everything. And her sister, instead of helping her, goes and sits at Jesus' feet. Now, sitting at somebody's feet in the times, in the Jewish times, had incredible significance. It wasn't just sitting down and listening. It was actually choosing your master. Somebody would choose the person that they wanted to disciple them. So sitting at Jesus' feet was an incredibly significant choice that Mary made. Now, there have been entire theologies, worldviews built on this text, taken to the complete extreme. Monasteries were built where people believed that the monks and nuns needed to be completely separated from society so that they could spend all their time in prayer, in quietness, just praying. And this idea of being quiet and prayerful was elevated above everything else. Now, it's all good and well to be quiet and to pray all the time, but it leaves a bit of a problem. Who's going to do the work? Stuff needs to get done. Food needs to be produced. Children need to be raised. We need to keep law and order. Stuff just has to get done. So Jesus isn't telling Martha that the work isn't important. In fact, elsewhere in Scripture, Jesus affirms the women that support him and his disciples. But Jesus tells Martha, that she's anxious, she's distracted. It's the worries and distractions that are keeping her from a relationship with Jesus, from following Jesus. And I believe that's true for many of us if not all of us here this morning. So in this passage, Jesus is highlighting three important things about our work and about our relationship with Jesus. The first is that choosing Jesus as our master is a choice. When we get our priorities the wrong way around, when we put our work ahead of worship, when we put our work ahead of following Jesus, we make work our master. And work can take on many forms, not just paid work. It's anything that we do that takes our attention and our focus. And Jesus doesn't say that work isn't important. You know the saying, you put the cart before the horse? What I've often missed in this saying is it's not making it a choice. It's not the horse or the cart. It's just getting them in the right order. Now you might say, but you have no choice. You have a tyrant for a boss, bills to pay, children who need to get to school, extramural activities. But Jesus is very clear to Martha. Mary has chosen the good portion. We do have a choice as to what comes first. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. If we choose Jesus as our master, we put the kingdom first. And it is a difficult choice because it goes completely against the world. The world says, drive yourself harder. Do more, be more, achieve more. I love the saying, it says, life's a game, and it's the person that gets to the end of the game with the most toys who wins. We want more and more stuff. Jesus says, rest in me. I am enough. The world says you need to earn respect. You need to do things to prove that you're worthy. Jesus says, I've done it for you. The world says, keep going. Drive yourself. Everything has to be done now. Seize the moment. Jesus says, be still. Know that I am God. So the question we need to ask ourselves is who or what is the master in our lives? Who or what determines how we spend our time? Is it our own glory? Are we doing things so people will look at us and say, wow, they're successful. They've done well. Is it fear? Is it anxiety about tomorrow? Or is it just taking the easy road? These last two are Martha's masters. Jesus tells Martha she's anxious, she's troubled, she's distracted. And I believe today, these are often our masters too. So Jesus tells Martha she's anxious about her preparations. Well, of course she is. She's got Jesus and 12 other hungry men to feed. She wants to do her best. She wants to prepare a banquet fit for the Messiah. Surely there's nothing wrong with that, wanting to do your best. And there isn't anything wrong with wanting to do your best. But when wanting to do it becomes our focus, our worry, we make that our master. And soon we're so focused on worrying that we lose sight of why we're doing what we're doing. Martha was so worrying about being prepared for Jesus that she misses Jesus himself. Instead of sitting at his feet to listen to him, being with him, she's running around preparing for him. We miss Jesus in our lives because we're too worried about tomorrow. We work ourselves to death to plan for tomorrow, and we miss out on Jesus in our lives today. Let me just get through today. Let me just get through this week, this month. It's a rough season. Hummel says, this is called the tyranny of the urgent. We crowd out the important things for the sake of the urgent things. Reading scripture and spending time with Jesus can always wait until tomorrow, until next week. But meeting that deadline, getting that report in on time, answering that ringing phone, these things can't wait. But soon, these urgent things crowd out the important things. So if you hold up a coin, you can see the light. You can see it in perspective. But as the coin comes closer to your eye, it blocks out the light completely. We allow the little things to become big things in our lives by making urgency and anxiety our master. We trade the important eternal things for the unimportant urgent things. We trade the urgent for a relationship with Jesus. Just like Martha chose the urgent for the ultimate. And Jesus also tells Martha, she's troubled. She's distracted. She was missing Jesus because she was distracted by other things. We do this too. I do this too. I'm distracted by many things. I've probably told you about my life group before. I love my life group, but they are incredibly difficult to lead because we get so off topic so quickly. So we've introduced a word, squirrel. When we got off topic, because it happens often, multiple times every night, somebody's allowed to say the word squirrel. We stop and we get back on track. But in our lives, I don't have somebody whispering squirrel to me. It'd be really nice if I did. And we live in a world where we're surrounded by distractions. Things we don't even realize are distractions. Where we're bombarded with everyone and everything telling us that life should be about us and life should be about making things easier for ourselves. The world sold us a lie that we need to do things, we need to have things, we need to be things in order to be happy. So we get into the cycle of wanting more, doing more, getting more. Even when we're sitting down quietly, technology brings these distractions into our lives to the point where our lives are so full of stuff, we don't have time to focus on anything else, to focus on what's most important, something that we can't buy because it's already been paid for, and that's a relationship with Jesus. Even in our Christian lives, we choose a church that makes us happy, where we feel comfortable, where the messages are uplifting and affirming, where we have a spiritual experience, entertainment, instead of a church that challenges us, where we serve, where we're called to sit at Jesus' feet and be disciples. And that's hard. But Jesus says life is hard. But it only has meaning when our lives are about him. We get distracted by trying to find things in our life that have meaning. We think success brings happiness, brings meaning. But only Jesus brings meaning and deep joy. Even when life is tough, even when life is not happy, he brings joy. But we get distracted by the lie the world has told us. So challenge, what are the things in your life, in my life, that are distracting us? How much time do we spend on social media? How much time do we spend tweeting and posting Facebook posts? I think they should be called anti-social media. And after a day, 2 days, our posts are long forgotten, but we've missed the opportunity to experience life, to experience the beautiful life that Jesus has given us. Do our children need to have 5 different after-school activities? Do they need to be entertained? Can they not play outside and entertain themselves? And do we really need to work ourselves to the bone to pay for a house that's big enough to impress people we don't like? We're distracted by temporary things that bring us temporary happiness. Crazy statistic I read, that 99% of things we buy today will be landfill in less than a year's time. That is crazy. But the things that we do following Jesus, everything we do following Jesus will last for eternity. Think about that. Everything we do following Jesus will last for eternity. And Jesus is waiting, longing for us to follow him. He wants us to sit at his feet. He came to earth so he could be with us. He died on a cross to take away any barrier from us following him. And he rose again so that we know we have an eternal relationship with him. And Jesus gives us that freedom to choose him and not the world. Imagine working, not because you have to, but because this job is a gift from Jesus, that whatever we do and however we work, it's for him. It's been incredible. And we can all do that in whatever job, in every work we find ourselves in the busy times and in the quiet times. Just like Martha, we need to learn to sit at Jesus' feet, recognize Jesus as our master above all else. It reminds me of a lady. She was praying every single night, "Lord, find me a job that has meaning. Just find me something that I can do, that I can follow you, that I can have meaning. This job is terrible." Night after night after night, she prayed. And eventually she says, "Right, I'm done. I'm not praying this prayer anymore. You're not answering me." Jesus said to her, "I am the answer to your prayer." So to close, I'm going to talk about three ways in which we can have a heart like Mary, where we can sit at Jesus' feet in a world that's gone crazy, in a world that's built around Martha's. The first is to acknowledge that we have put other things first, that we have got other masters besides Jesus. We need to recognize these things in our lives, recognize the things that are taking our attention from Jesus, the worries in our lives, the distractions, the masters. Spend time in prayer asking Jesus to show you what are the things in our lives that are keeping us from him, that are crowding him out. And then ask Jesus to transform your life so that he can be back in his rightful place as master of your life. And in all things and through all things, pray. Don't stop praying. And I don't mean praying when quiet time, in the mornings or in the evenings, when there are no distractions. But make prayer part of everything that you do, part of the rhythm of your daily life. Like Paul said, pray without ceasing. If you're not used to praying like that, try different things. Pray when you wake up in the morning. Pray when you get in your car. Pray when you open your laptop. And soon, prayer becomes part of the rhythm of your life. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. Just acknowledge Jesus. Invite him to be part of everything in your life. And then finally, be thankful. When we have a heart of gratitude for what Jesus has given us, we stop thinking about what we don't have. And we start thinking about Jesus as the center of our lives, for what he has done on the cross and what he continues to do in our lives. Then we start to automatically focus on Jesus. And we also experience joy in our lives. Life is busy when our lives are difficult. Because when Jesus is our master, we know we're in safe hands. And we have the experience to live life with joy, a life of eternal meaning. Let's pray. Lord, as we head into the last term of the year, when life does get crazy busy, Lord, we just pray that you'll point out where we have distractions, where we have worries, where we have things that are keeping us from you, Lord. And this morning we just say sorry, Lord. Sorry for all the other masters that we have in our lives, Lord. Just pray, Lord, transform our lives so that you are our master. We can sit at your feet and follow you in everything that we do, Lord. And we just pray this all in your awesome name, Lord Jesus. Amen.